This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome in the spring. Welcome in March Madness. It is day one of both here, and we are coming to you live the next 4 hours, both today and tomorrow, from NASCAR Park, just outside Intrust Bank Arena, where the party will be starting very, very soon. Welcome in, everybody. We're excited about this. We've been waiting on this only for, what, about 4 years since Wichita had its last bid canceled because of COVID. So the city's ready to party. Fans are ready to party. We got great fan bases in from other teams, all kinds of good stuff coming. And so we're here to party, too. We'll be out here. In fact, our Odyssey family will be out here at NASCAR Park. This is the official fan fest of the event. So there's all kinds of stuff happening right here around us at NASCAR, of course, on both sides of the arena. But stop by, say hi if you make your way down and when you make your way down. I know we'll take people kind of right up to pregame coverage. And the games tip off pretty much when we leave the air. So we're looking forward to it. Tommy, welcome.
Yeah, it's good to see you today. I know today is officially the first day of spring. Doesn't really feel like it right now, No. But it will. It's going to warm up as the day continues, as we roll on through the rest of this week into this weekend. It's going to be really, really nice. It's kind of the calm before the storm out here at NASCAR. Sun isn't up yet. It's pretty quiet around here at NASCAR Park, but it won't be as we get through the morning, and we'll be here the entire time.
Yeah, it'll be, the weather will cooperate in just a little bit. I don't know how people with real jobs do it. It's cold standing outside here for the next 4 hours, but it'll warm up each and every hour. Got like a bucket of coffee here. There's all kinds of stuff. We're right next to some restaurants, so we'll make do. We'll have fun. We're glad to be here. We're glad to have everybody with us wherever it is that you're with us right now, whether it's on KFH. You can still give us a call at 869-1240. We've got Max back in the studio. He can take those calls. We can also take your video comments on X, on Facebook, on YouTube. And thanks for watching us, of course, on 12 News Plus. We're going to have Visit Wichita's Josh Howell stop by here in just a minute. He can walk us through how this all works. Visit Wichita kind of spearheading, getting these things to come here. What's the latest this year? What's the latest in the future for Wichita and these sorts of events, especially particularly this NCAA tournament. So we'll have that coming for you. We've got Tim Fitzgerald coming up a little bit later as well. We'll kind of decompress on K-State's basketball season, early portal news perhaps, who's coming back, who's staying, who's leaving. And then maybe some football notes with Fitz. We got our guys Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland. They're double duty for 12 News like I am. They're going to stop by a couple of times here throughout the next couple of days. We got all kinds of fun stuff coming for you. Come say hi again as you make your way down. I know a lot of people are playing hooky from the second part of their workday. We'd encourage it. We think it's a great idea. And we think you should get down here.
Yeah, you definitely should. I mean, I think that's okay. I think your boss will understand if you play hooky and come on down here to NASCAR Park when the games tip off. The first game here in Wichita is at about 1 o'clock this afternoon. But of course, all the games or some of the earlier games tip off a little bit after 11 a.m. this morning. And the cool thing about being down here at NASCAR Park, you and I were talking about this before we came on the air. The last time the tournament was here in Wichita in 2018, NASCAR Park wasn't NASCAR Park like it is today.
Right.
And in that time, in the last 7 years, of course, this entire area right off of Douglas and St. Francis has been absolutely transformed. And so it's going to be a great place, even if you're not planning on going inside in Trust Bank Arena to watch any of the games. If you don't have tickets, come down here and party, because they've got the big video board. They're going to be showing the games. You know, we'll probably have, I know that Parks and Rec, City of Wichita, they've been working on getting all the schools' cheerleading squads and marching bands and all of that down here. Food trucks, bar trucks, I mean, you name it. There's going to be so much down here to just party and enjoy the atmosphere, watch the games on the big screen, even if you're not going inside the arena to watch the games that are here locally.
I've been to a lot of these sites through my work at 12 News, and I can tell you I've never been to one that was as good as what Wichita did the first time. Now, the setup is even better. That tournament coming in got a lot of things changed. I think, you know, one of the big reasons we now have NASCAR to sort of connect the arena to Old Town is because of that. And now you've got this perfect scenario. You'll have all the watch parties for these teams and everything happening sort of in the Old Town area. And then you just can make your way down into the arena. And then even on the south side of the arena, where there's a ton of other things set up, just walk around. Just like make your way around. It's awesome. And it's really a chance for Wichita to beat its chest. Tommy gives me a hard time. This is why I've been so concerned about KU being here all year and all of these other things, because I want this to be amazing. And I want, as we'll talk to Josh Howell in a little bit, the bid process to be even easier as Wichita tries to do this and get into a rotation and make this a very frequent thing. The NCAA tournament, Wichita's built for it. I mean, this is
totally,
you're in the college basketball craziest part of the world where people will show up and do things. And I popped in yesterday to a part of the practice sessions, and we'll get TJ and Brandon's take on this because they were in there all day yesterday. They had big crowds in there to watch practice, not necessarily capacity, like when it was KU a few years ago that really, I think, shocked kind of the whole country. That became a little bit of a national story, but there were people just in there to watch practice, and there are great storylines all over this tournament, which we'll explore throughout. I mean, you can find them everywhere. There are so many local ties to this tournament here. And I think we got as good a draw as any region. I kind of looked at all the regions. Was like, is anybody a better collection of eight teams? I would say regionally specific, no, because we got Houston, we got Tech, we got Missouri, we got Drake. We got, I think it's five drivable schools.
Then you throw in Gonzaga that has a great fan base. You throw in Georgia, you know, an SEC school.
And those fan bases will travel.
Those fan bases will travel for sure. I think the other big thing, you know, and I neglected to mention this with the Fan Fest out here at NASCAR Park, when it officially opens at 10 a.m., I'm sure that we're going to start to see, you know, crazy crowds even before then. But the biggest thing is that it's free to the public.
Yeah.
So even if you, like I said, don't have a ticket inside in Trust Bank Arena right over our shoulders, that's okay. I mean, come on down here. It's not going to cost you anything. I know there are like you mentioned, parties all over the place. Some of the parties are, you know, ticketed events. This one is not. And this is the official one with the City of Wichita.
Yeah.
And so you can, like we talked about, play hooky. It's spring break, so bring the kids out and just, you know, enjoy it. And you don't have to worry about a ticket or anything like that. It's free to just come out and hang out.
And if you need a note for hooky, we'll sign them.
We will.
You make it, we'll sign it. We'll get you a hall pass today.
Also, by the way, I want to mention a big thank you to our friends over at both Taco Bell and Pizza Hut. They made it possible for us to be down here at Fan Fest. And so a huge thank you to them for making that possible for Odyssey to be here.
And thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us warm here this morning with all the great coffee they provide for us. Thanks to Tony for getting this set up for us here this morning. We're going to have some fun. We'll be back out here tomorrow, too, by the way. But yeah, there's a big, I'm looking right at the big screen. I'm looking right at the bar truck. I'm looking at food all around me. just come down, hang out, even if you're not going to the games. That's the whole point. Just be down here, kind of celebrate the city. It's a party for Wichita, and we are very happy to be a part of it. So when we return, we're going to bring in Josh Howell, visit Wichita, and learn about how this stuff works, how this happens, how do we do it again, what kinds of things are we going to expect here. That's all coming for you over the next 4 hours.
4 hours. We're going live. 4 hours, buddy.
We'll be right back on the other side.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back out to Nafsker Park, just outside Entrust Bank Arena, as we're counting down the hours to get basketball underway. 1 o'clock tip times here, but the tournament starts around 11 o'clock, and you can come watch those early games with us. We'll be set up here throughout the show today, and then afterward, we've got all kinds of fun stuff happening here at Nafsker Park and all around downtown Wichita. Welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. Jacob Allrock, Tommy Caster here, and we bring in from Visit Wichita, Josh Howell.
Wow. I like that you hit that applause button.
So they gave us, we don't normally get buttons, Josh, so we're going to use buttons here. Josh, this is awesome. I know it's a lot of work on the back end to get to this point. Feel a little relieved today?
A little bit, yeah. You know, I heard you guys talking about it, you know, before in the first segment. And we are definitely a part of that bid. But I got to first make sure I give all the credit and praise to Brad Pittman and his whole team at Wichita State. You know, they, I'm out here talking to you guys because I can. But he's in there probably already, to be honest with you. And his whole team, they put in a ton of work for this event. It's a big reason why the NCAA keeps coming back. Brad and his entire team do a great job. They know that when they bring this event to Wichita, it's going to be done first class. And so I think that's a huge part of it. So before, yeah, I just wanted to make sure I gave a shout out to Brad, because he is definitely, today's a big day for him, and he's put in a ton of work in this. So we're super grateful that he's a part of our organizing committee.
You know, it's been 7 years since, you know, NCAA tournament was here in Wichita. And of course, you know, it was not supposed to be that way. It was supposed to be a few years ago in 2021. Of course, COVID kind of threw a wrench in all of those plans. But, you know, that anticipation from the last 7 years, I mean, I remember the way that everything was in 2018 and how just incredible the atmosphere was, and Wichita showed out in full force. And, you know, it helped that Kansas was here playing, and, you know, that the KU fans were able to come down, you know, here and watch them play. That's not the case this year, but that anticipation, I would imagine, because of what happened in 2021, has just grown so much, especially probably for you guys that are, you know, have been a big part of putting this together.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, 2018, we didn't really know what to expect. We tried to put our best foot forward. I think everyone would agree it just blew the expectations out of the water.
Best site I've ever been to.
Yeah. It was incredible. Yeah. I mean, like I heard you mention it earlier, Jacob, you know, not every site does this. So if you go around, you go visit different cities, different first and second round sites, this does not happen everywhere. I promise you that. You might have a little pop up here or there, but when you walk around the arena today, you're going to see fan fest pop up everywhere, parties going on. Downtown's going to be hopping. So yeah, 2018, we saw what Wichita could do. I think we all knew Wichita was going to get behind it, but to that level, I don't know anyone could have predicted that. You talked about Nafsker Park the way it is now. I mean, it's just perfectly set up for a fan fest type of an event. This place is going to be hopping. 21, we were super excited, ready to go. Hey, let's do it again. You know, it was only 3 years removed. obviously COVID kind of had other plans, and we got to welcome the women back in 2022 for the regional Sweet 16 Elite Eight games. That was fun. That was really the first time we got to activate Napsker Park for a fan fest type of an event. But I can only imagine today, here in a few hours, once the sun comes up, it's a little cold now, but hopefully I've been watching the weather and upper 50s and sun, and the rest of the week, it's going to be nice. So I think we're expecting a ton of people. We got a great draw. Fortunately, you know, of course we would have loved KU to be here, but I think all things considered, the teams that we have coming to Wichita, couldn't ask for a better draw. So I'm really excited to welcome the eight teams and all their fans to Wichita and show them what we can do.
Yeah, I mean, it was a you wanted to get at least Tech or Iowa State. I mean, I think that started there when it wasn't going to be KU. So that was a good start. Houston's return team. They're our only returner, I believe. They were here last time. Mm-hmm. Their fans will come up, and then we talked about it. It is a perfect draw. Now, how much do you know? We asked this question. This will be kind of for fans that are coming down here. Like, I remember in 18, like, walk-around beers were passed basically for the event. Is that still... like, can people basically party from Old Town to the north side of Intrust still?
I think you have to kind of stay still in your zones. Okay. And maybe, I think it was that way in 18. Maybe it was a little bit loose
they pushed it out a little bit. They put out, like, barricades.
Yeah, technically, I think they're asking you to kind of stay in the zones. The good thing is they've locked off streets around the Fan Fest. I know safety is utmost priority for the police department and the sheriffs. They've done a great job of making sure that everyone is going to be safe while they're here. But the fan zones are pretty big. And I know south of the arena, they have a pretty large footprint of a fan zone. So as far as bringing alcohol back and forth, you know, there's a lot more room down south. And Napsker Park, they have the whole the zone here that you can drink in. But, of course, once you get into the arena, they're gonna want you to buy their stuff. Yeah. So, either way, I think you mentioned it. Whether you have a ticket or not, we want you to come out, visit the restaurants that are around here. Yes. Grab a bite to eat, you know, hope the fans do a little bit of shopping while they're here, but certainly enjoy FanFest out here at Napsker Park.
So obviously, Josh, you know, you've been with Visit Wichita for a number of years now. And, you know, so it's not only the city of Wichita coming out and enjoying the games. It's these fan bases coming into the city, seeing what Wichita has to offer. We were able to do that back in 2018. Of course, you mentioned the women's tournament in 2022. From Visit Wichita's perspective, when you've got these fan bases coming in from essentially all over the country, including, I mean, Gonzaga coming in, you know, from halfway across the country, Georgia from the other side, all of that, what is it that you feel like Wichita can show these fan bases when they come to town?
You know, I think sometimes we take ourselves for granted here in Wichita, but we have a lot to offer. Our central location is huge when we go after events, but the Midwestern hospitality, the friendliness, we hear that from every event that we host here in Wichita. When people leave, I can't believe how friendly everybody was. But not only that, I don't think people realize what a big city we really are here. We tell people we're small enough to where when you bring your event to Wichita, you're going to feel the love. You're going to have all the news stations, all the radio stations come out and do live hits. But we're big enough to where we can sell out an arena. There's tons of great restaurants, tons of great attractions. And everybody that we hear... when they leave Wichita, so I think surprise is a big word. Pleasantly surprised. They're just absolutely blown away by all that Wichita has to offer. And so hopefully you can see when you drive around town, the street pole banners welcoming them. We have balloon arches with big welcome banners at the airport when they arrive. There's banners all over town welcoming fans. There's the two trusses on the north and the south side of the arena that people can take pictures in front of. So hopefully people see that, not only the locals, but everyone traveling here from all those different states, you know, they're going to know that they're in Wichita and that they're welcome here. And I think, you know, we have our own citizens to thank for that, just the friendliness and everything as well.
Josh Howell, Visit Wichita with us here on Sports Daily, getting ready as the sun comes up for the opening round of the NCAA tournament. I always think too, Josh, and this is what makes your job so cool. Like, there's no better megaphone for Wichita than events like this, because I mean, I listen, I'm an out of towner. You guys maybe a little different perspective, but as an out of towner, you walk into this and you'll be shocked. So this is what it's all about. And the businesses here have to participate too, right? Like, everybody gets on board, and that's who, you know, when you said come down, eat, shop, just make it the place you come watch games, because know how much these places put into being a good host. Yeah. They have to staff up. They do everything. So come down here, watch the games, because it's just like it's basketball central as much in the arena as it is outside the arena.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you nailed it there. So I mentioned Wichita State, Intrust Bank Arena, Visit Wichita. You know, we're the three main driving forces for the bid and getting the event here. But it would not be a success if it weren't for all the businesses around Wichita, the community. In 2018, we hosted this fan fest, and we started to get word that maybe there were some other fan fests popping up. Businesses were going to do their own fan fest. So we got everyone together and said, hey, let's all meet and let's figure out who's doing what so we don't duplicate efforts. We found out there was six or seven other fan fests going on that we didn't even know about. So this time around, we knew what to expect and we kind of gathered everyone together. But again, that's not something that was all organic. That was just people that had a passion for Wichita, that knew this event was huge and wanted to show a good time to everyone coming here. And again, we are very lucky to have that mentality from all the businesses and the whole community here in Wichita. They really truly understand how big this event is. We're going to be on national TV on Thursday and Saturday, and you're going to see Wichita on the court, and the announcers are going to say live from Wichita. You can't put a price tag on that kind of publicity. And so it's just huge for the event, but we couldn't do it without all of our great partners all around, not only downtown, but all around the city of Wichita.
I always tell the story from 2018 that, you know, at one point, you know, I'm down here and I totally lose track of where I am, and I'm from Wichita, and I'm like, I don't know where I am right now. It's so turned around, and probably the adult beverages that I consume probably contributed to that a little bit, but you're right. I mean, just as far as like everybody coming together and all of these parties popping up left and right, and it's that same way this year. I mean, you can go basically anywhere around the arena, you know, within that radius, and you're going to find something fun to do, whether it's ticketed, whether it's private, whether it's public, free to the public, whatever it is. Yep. There's just going to be so much action around here the next couple of days.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned it, free. I think almost there might be a few little paid areas, but most of these fan fests are free to the public. And the cool thing is there's really not a lot of like competition as far as it goes. Like everyone's been working together.
Yep.
The sense of community. Again, we had these meetings where we brought everybody together and everyone just wants this to be great for all the visitors, all the locals, but there's just that sense of community and pride in Wichita. And so, yeah, tons going on. You can watch, if you don't have a ticket, you mentioned it, Tommy, come on out. All the games are going to be here on the video board. There's going to be, you know, beer garden, food trucks, games, you name it. So come on out, whether you have a ticket or not. And if you do have a ticket, come on out early, support it. Go grab a bite to eat somewhere here, either at a food truck or at a local restaurant. And just make the whole day and hopefully a whole weekend out of it.
And again, we're signing hall passes here. Tommy and I will sign those for you if you need something for
your
boss.
Got to play hooky.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just put it on a piece of paper. Don't be a fun hater. Signed, Sports Daily. Josh, before we let you go, I do want to ask you, so how does it work with the process of coming back after this year? It all kind of got messed up with the COVID year. I know we got stuck on the end of what was already bid out, right? So yeah. Now we're here. How does this work moving forward to keep in the rotation?
Yeah, so getting that first bid in 2018 was huge because we got our name out there. We proved what we could do. Yeah. We blew it out of the water. Brad and his team, again, did an amazing job hosting. The community got behind it. They saw that. They awarded us the bid in 21. They awarded us the bid in 25. So our goal all along was to get in their main rotation of every 4 to 5 years. We want to be in their rotation of hosting. We hosted the women in 22. So we got in that rotation. This bid cycle ended in 26. So it was 23, 24, 25, and 26 is when we bid on this event back in 2020, if you can believe it or not. 27 and 28 have already been bid out and already been awarded. They told us we submitted an incredible bid. It was just more of a timing issue, like you mentioned. It was a little bit too close to 25.
Yeah.
So our goal is now we're going to be looking at 29 and 30 is when the next two bid cycles will be awarded. We're hoping that those RFPs will come out sometime this year. They haven't announced it yet, but based on their previous timelines, we think that'll happen sometime this year. Brad and I most likely will go out to Indy for their NCAA bid symposium that they host when the bids come out, meet with everybody again, and then between Wichita State, Visit Wichita and Intrust Bank Arena. We'll put our heads together, hopefully put a great bid package, but hopefully we'll blow it out of the park again, blow it out of the water here in 25 here today and Saturday, and it'll make the case that much easier to win that bid in either 29 or 30.
Before we wrap up and let you go, Josh, let's talk basketball. You're a college basketball junkie. Your bracket, what does it look like? I mean, I know you're a big Arizona fan.
Yeah.
What do you got? What do you like?
Back in the day when Arizona was one or two seed every year, I would always put Arizona in the championship and win it. That was just what I did. But now that I'm a little bit older, a little bit wiser, I don't
do
that. I know that's not going to happen. As Jacob knows, I'm a Cowboys fan as well. I'm a Mavericks fan. It's been a rough rough couple years for me. But I do have Arizona going to the Sweet 16, losing to Duke. But I'm pretty chalky this year in my bracket. I think I have I just don't see many people beating those one seeds. And if they do, I don't know which one to pick. So I think I have Florida facing Houston maybe in the finals, and I have Florida winning it all. So we'll see.
We're going to talk about that because I do feel like the landscape of college basketball is more ripe for Cinderellas and upsets and all of those things than it ever has been. And here we are, and everybody's doing it too. Everybody thought like everybody's bracket's chalky this year, and it's probably a mistake, which is good, right? You root for chaos. I sit here and wonder, are we going to get a massive upset here?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because of where I'm from, I don't want that to happen to Texas Tech. And then because of who I picked as a champion, I don't want that to happen to Houston. So I'm like, okay, well, I kind of hope we don't get that out of those. No offense to any fans from the other fan bases that are here.
Well, not only an upset, but remember the big shot here that Jordan Poole hit?
Yes, I do.
Houston, and that still is played to this day every year. So if we can get another moment like that here in Wichita, that'd be huge.
Wasn't that the last game of the night?
I believe it was.
Across the country. It was the last shot of the last game of that day,
It was late.
It was late that night when he hit that shot. I remember that.
Yeah, we were here doing, we were here doing live shots for TV or something. And yeah, we may have been cleared by the time we walked in. That was wild. It's going to be a blast. And yes, give Brad Pittman, who I'm glad you brought him up. It's just such a good job that they do. Wichita State is the host city. Shocker fans, if you ever wonder if the Shockers can play here, they cannot because Wichita State is technically the host. But let's give you guys a little padding on the resume to take down to Indianapolis with you to make sure we get back here in a few years.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's do that. So.
All right, Josh, go rest up. Big day. Get hydrated. The sun's coming up. I'm already feeling a little warmer. Maybe it's just in my head.
I think it's in your head. I think it's actually getting colder than what
it was. It's going to be great today. Come on out.
It will be. No, the weather will be great. It'll be 60 degrees and sunny. No wind.
There you go.
I mean, that is the perfect start to springtime. We're seeing people walk around. Josh, appreciate it.
Thanks. Thanks for having me, guys.
Enjoy the day.
Yep.
Josh Howell, visit Wichita. Man, I love this so much.
It's great.
I think 2018 was my favorite Wichita thing. Been here, it's like, I don't know, 11 or 12 years now. I think that was my favorite thing to like. The Wichita Open is a great show off for the city. But I think 2018 here for that tournament has been my favorite like community event. And I honestly like, I think this year can be better. I think Saturday, with the weather the way it is, especially if KU wins and gets just like a bunch of people out to watch a game like that. March Madness, you'll always have people out to watch a game.
Right.
But man, I think this year, as far as the festivities, could even top 2018.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you're right in that regard because of the fact that we have one under our belt. And we've seen what we can do as a city, as a community. And, you know, Josh talked about it, having the support of the businesses, having the support of all of the different organizations.
It was almost like it was guerrilla style.
It was, I mean, because I remember coming down to it and not knowing what to expect, right? Like there were really no expectations other than at that time, Kansas is playing in Wichita. They're going to be here. Let's go watch Kansas play.
Right,
And then it just blew up from there.
Yeah.
And so now, even though Kansas isn't here, the party is. And that party is bigger and actually probably more organized and more, large in nature. So it's going to be incredible.
There are a lot more businesses down here now than were down here then, which will make it better too. And again, we'd invite you just grab a beer at one place, watch a little of a game, walk around, go do another one, support all these businesses. They put a lot of work into it. Community does. We appreciate everybody's hard work. Wichita State's work to do this. Visit Wichita's work to do this. It's going to be a blast. We are here live at NASCAR Park. There will be games on with us here. We'll be out here having fun. We'll be walking around. Come by, say hi. It is the first day of spring. I'm told Max sent me a message. Max has something for us for the spring. I don't know, if Max, if you want to play that now. We can't communicate quite as easy as we normally do. But Max, do you have something for us now, or are you going to surprise us with that at some point in the show?
I played it coming out of the last break.
Oh, we couldn't hear it.
Okay.
We on our video feed, I think it was covered up.
But I'll play it again.
I missed it. Okay, let's hear it. What is it? Got here. Gotta be something like Monty Python.
Tiny Tim, right?
That's enough.
What is Tiny
Tim? Supposed to be singing about the voices of spring, not the eruption of a volcano.
What is that, Max?
Three Stooges.
Oh,
Three Stooges.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah, that's
fair enough.
You're asking a lot of us. I appreciate that. It makes me feel young here. Boy, it is the first day of spring. I saw something funny yesterday. Yesterday was winter for everybody out of town. Yesterday was winter. Today is spring, and tomorrow's summer. So
that's about right.
Yeah, because I think we're getting up to 80 tomorrow. So enjoy it. We are at the coldest part of the day right now. It is going to be nice. I mean, it will be. Saturday is probably, I would say, more like perfect weather for something like this. But I'm 60 degrees and sunny with a light breeze today. That's going to be pretty nice, especially if you were here yesterday. And I mean, let me apologize to everybody in from out of town listening right now for what you had to withstand yesterday. That was disgusting.
Yeah, it was gross. And you know, I'll tell you right now, it might be chilly, might be cold right now for us doing this show live from NASCAR Park. But had the weather yesterday been going on today, we wouldn't be here. Number one,
yeah, we could.
We wouldn't be doing the show live. And number two, it would have hampered, you know, this entire party out here and the entire experience. You can't control the weather, but at least we know that, hey, we can get through probably a couple of hours of pretty cold weather here this morning, as long as it's going to turn into a really nice day and afternoon and evening, and it's going to do that.
Yeah, we'll suffer for you out here. Let's talk a little basketball, Tommy, as we kind of get into things today. Josh, we asked Josh about his bracket, and I am not kidding. I took Houston. I've wanted to take Houston for a long time. I found out you took Houston. Then I found out about six other people just in casual conversation. I'm like, well, what did I miss here? I thought I was going to be sort of on an island. Everybody be taking Duke, or Florida looks really good lately. And I've got both of them in my Final Four too, but I can't believe this is the year I've never done that before. Never. And I sat the entire year just like, I want to put Tech in there. I might want to put Iowa State in there. And then like it's injuries have happened. And here we have this chalky bracket, but basketball's not chalky. Like all of these teams are evened out because of the transfer portal and because of, you know, a bigger distribution of a lot of this talent. And there's almost no way it stays that chalky, but it's what everybody sort of envisions. I'm not sure why that's happened this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that some of it you have to look back on kind of the coaching and the coaches of teams that have won national championships historically. You know, you usually don't see up and coming coaches and programs win championships. You know, it's coaches like, you know, Coach K and Bill Self and Roy Williams and Jay Wright. You know, most recently it's Dan Hurley has solidified himself as one of those coaches at that level. And the reason why I've got Houston winning it is because I think Kelvin Sampson is that guy that is due to be able to add his name to that list. I like Florida. I like that, you know, what they've done this season. They are really, really good. And Todd Golden has done a hell of a job this year coaching that team. I'm not sure that I'm ready yet to put Todd Golden in that category.
Yeah.
I'll put Kelvin Sampson in that category.
Look, I think Kelvin Sampson's as good as there is.
I agree.
As just a coach.
Wholeheartedly. I agree with you.
Yeah,
that's why I've got Houston. It comes down to taking a look at
the coaching
Houston. Caliber to win the national
championship. I agree. That puts me over the edge. And they're finally healthy coming into the tournament as they've been one of these top seeds. It's been a while since they've been healthy. But even as much as that, it's like, but why the other chalk, right? Like, why the other chalk? And I don't know what it is. I just keep wondering, like, who is that team going to be? Are we going to see an NC State? Are we going to see the true unexpected? You know, because if Michigan State or Tennessee or Alabama, or some of these twos, or hell, even if Texas Tech, right? Like that's not going to be that surprising. Is there another team out there? Is it UConn?
I told you before, I think it's BYU. I think that what they've done with Kevin Young, if they can get through this first round,
I love
BYU. I love them to make a run.
They're susceptible though, and I think it's Wisconsin, but is a three truly that big a surprise? Probably not. And they got to play each other too. They're two of my favorites to do that. But like UC San Diego, everybody loves UC San Diego. UC San Diego's not going to the Final Four. I mean, I have them to the Sweet 16, but they're not going to the Final Four, I don't think, because everybody can kind of see them coming. They're not surprised. They were favored at one point against Michigan. That's flipped now.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about our bets when it's warmer and I can feel my hands and fingers when I can look at what I did bet, because I placed all of my first day bets yesterday. I don't know. I don't know who that team is. I don't even know who's in the mix to be it. I just don't have those ups. Like Yale, I think, is a team with some experience now. They kind of fit the profile a little bit. I know a lot of people like Montana. Montana's in that crazy region, though, of all these great offenses. Like, all the best offenses in the country are all there. Duke, Bama, Wisconsin, BYU. So, like, Montana, who's that, too? Like, I don't know. It's going to happen, though. Yeah. I mean, it's going to happen.
And look, I love Colorado State. I think they're a team that can make a run. I think
Medved's
a great coach.
I do too. I ended up taking Memphis. Colorado State's favored.
I know. I've got Colorado State going to the Sweet 16. And you know what? Memphis is Memphis, and Penny is Penny. PJ Haggerty is a stud, as we know.
Yeah.
We know that big time. That PJ Haggerty is a hell of a scorer. But I think that Memphis, it's this type of environment, a type of atmosphere where they sometimes stumble.
Yeah,
they don't always perform.
Not sometimes.
They stumble a lot. And I think that it's a favorable matchup for Colorado State. They've got a kid, and God, I'm forgetting his name, but he like their top scorer, Colorado State's top scorer, is phenomenal. So that's why I picked Colorado State to upset Memphis, and I think that they'll make a run. I also like New Mexico as a 10 seed. I think Richard Pitino is a really good coach.
Well, listen, my 7-year-old daughter has him in the Final Four.
I don't know. I don't have him going that far, but I think they'll make a little bit of a run too. So I think that there are some sleeper upset teams out there that can absolutely get into the second weekend.
Yeah, I do too. And it's, you know, like North Carolina's they're not going to be it. That's not a true Cinderella.
No.
Xavier last night, Xavier Texas gave us a good game. You know, that would maybe fit a little bit more of the profile. But there are, we have a lot of games where the, you know, those higher seeds, like I have Utah State winning a game. I just love it so much. Here's the other thing too, speaking of betting, that I think makes this year a little unique and different. We obviously didn't have this in 2018. I can't quite wrap my head around the fact that this is going to feel a little like Las Vegas. Like, we can, while watching the games and enjoying them and partaking them, just like bet them anytime, like
live.
Yeah. Live. Just like right now, you know, and that, I think that part of it's going to be a little element that at least I'm not quite ready for yet, but as we're just walking around and kind of looking like, oh yeah, let's throw $5 on that game. I think that will be really cool addition to this year's, you know, part of the festivities down here, is because you have everything. You have the event happening here. You have the ability to watch the games in 1,000 different places, which will be really cool. And then you'll have the ability to just sort of feel out a game as it's happening. I can't wait to see these games here. I don't think we are in upset central. I think the game that everybody has circled is certainly Missouri and Drake.
Me too. I can't wait for that game.
Me too. I had a hard time with it. I ended up taking Drake because I think the story is so good, but so is Missouri's.
Yeah.
And I know KU fans hate Missouri, and that's great. I love that rivalry. I don't really care. So I don't have any I don't mind Missouri. And I love that they have some local guys, especially Caleb Grill. His story is fantastic. I know he's going to have a lot of family here. There are a lot of things to get behind. Drake has some local flavor as well out of Andover, and their coach is like that. That one hits my heart. We'll ask Brandon Zinner about this because he covered Ben McCollum for a long time as a Division II coach. But like that hits home for me. I went to a Division II school with a great, you know, facilities and program and all that kind of thing. And you always wonder when you're at those places, like, man, can we ever compete and do that? Well, yeah. That's essentially what he's done.
Yeah.
Right. He just brought his team up and here they are. They've had an incredible year.
I talked to a buddy of mine that is pretty dialed into college basketball in general and follows it very, very closely. And I don't have this verified. I don't know this to be fact, but what he told me was that Ben McCollum has been very close as far as a friendship and kind of coaching circle to a couple of guys that are pretty familiar. Grant McCasland, who's okay. at Texas Tech, and Dusty May, who's now at Michigan.
Okay.
And the three of them sort of came up together. They talk, they share a lot. And, you know, I think it could be pretty easy to perceive Ben McCollum as maybe the least successful out of the three, just because he had been at Division II for so long.
Yeah.
But that's not the case.
No.
I mean, that's not like he is absolutely on par with those guys who have done great things at their schools. I mean, both Texas Tech and Michigan are in the tournament. Michigan just won the Big Ten tournament. And now McCollum has been able to show off his coaching chops at Drake. And I mean, I'm sure he loves Drake and they've done a great job this year, making it into the tournament. I think McCollum can go to a big time program and have a ton of success. So I don't know if that's his desire or not.
Yeah, he can.
He can if he wants to. I think that there would, you know, a lot of schools out there would love to have Ben McCollum be their head coach.
Yeah, and it that's the thing too. And I've said this for years and years and years, and I've probably said it here. It's just like Chris Klieman, like those guys that can coach and win championships, doesn't really matter the level. They can just get it done. I remember back in the day, Grand Valley State was dominant in Division II for a long time. And I was like, Brian Kelly ought to be the next coach of Notre Dame. Because at that time, I was a Notre Dame fan. I was like, why don't they just hire him? Like, he wins everything. And then you get called crazy for saying that. And then all of a sudden, he goes to Cincinnati, finds a ton of success wherever else he went. And then he ends up at Notre Dame anyway. And he ended up being one of the best in the business. All right, we'll come back. That's the first hour, the coldest hour. All pointing up from here. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily after this.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
And welcome back in, everybody, for another hour of Sports Daily, coming to you live until 11 o'clock, right until games start to tip off. And we made it over the horizon, Tommy. It only gets warmer from here now today. I think we're up into above freezing at some point during this hour. And then we get all the way, you know, as we're through the show here, almost to 50 degrees and sunny. So we'll just grin and bear it here. Come say hi. It looks like as the sun has risen with us on this first day of spring, we have people setting up all their stuff out here as we speak. There are all kinds of things being set up at the moment. My colleagues over at 12 News will have a booth over here too. Looks like they got a couple of Papa shots they're going to set up. And then the set where we're doing live news hits all day will be over on the other side of the arena. But we'll be out there. We'll be out here hanging out with you. I know some of our pals here from the Odyssey family are going to be over here. You guys are voicing on the stage. Yeah, you're kind of the MCs of this part of it.
Yeah, so a big shout out to Parks and Rec for the city of Wichita. We have a great relationship with them. Have had a great opportunity to work with them on this event. And so we will be here on the stage at NASCAR Park. You and I are currently on the stage, but we will have folks from all of our Odyssey radio stations throughout the day today, throughout the day tomorrow, throughout the day on Saturday. And I think that's one thing that really hasn't, I'm not sure really been focused on as much is that tomorrow, even though there aren't games being played here in Wichita, the Fan Fest here at NASCAR Park will continue. It will go on as well from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Because you've got fan bases from these, you know, schools coming in, they're going to be looking for things to do. And there are going to be other games going on all around the country that are going to be shown here on the big screen at NASCAR Park.
Well, and that's the thing too. Yeah. You can still like there today, you get basketball from 11 a.m. to midnight. You do tomorrow too.
Yeah.
Like the first, it's Thursday and Friday. Everybody loves the first 2 days of the tournament, right? There's a reason for that. Thursday and Friday are always best. So yeah, be another great place tomorrow to come and watch. And it's here we go. We're ready to show off this city to everybody, and we're happy to do it. We're excited to do it. We're going to have Tim Fitzgerald coming up later this hour. We'll get Brandon and TJ in at some point here over the next couple of hours to digest everything that they took in yesterday. Of course, there are local angles all over the place in this tournament. You have what we mentioned with Drake and Mizzou, the local flavors there. You've got Texas Tech with two assistant coaches with ties to Wichita. Luke Barnwell, who's from Wichita, played at Newman, and then Brower, who played at Wichita State. Both of those guys are top-level assistants. They're both here with Texas Tech. Kelvin Sampson's obviously very familiar with this area from when Houston was in the American Athletic Conference.
I'm pretty sure I read, by the way, that Matt Brower just accepted his first head coaching job.
I didn't see that.
I don't know if he's with Grant McCaslin. Stephen F. Austin, I think.
That's a good job.
I believe.
I didn't see that.
I'd have to confirm that and double check that, but I'm pretty sure he could still be here.
Oh, yeah. They'll finish it up. That's become an interesting thing, and it happens all the time. Did Dusty May take the Michigan job while he finished last year in the tournament?
I think they were out by the time he accepted the job, I believe.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, you got to have those conversations, especially for assistants. So that's really cool
I'm verifying that as we speak.
I didn't see that. But you've got those. SIU Edwardsville has a coach that has spent some time here. Wichita Northwest, I saw. They're all over the place. I don't think we have any local ties to Gonzaga or Georgia. That would be the only ones. Otherwise, we're pretty much connected through the other, you know, six teams.
You ever try to like get something done on your phone when you're wearing gloves?
Yeah. these gloves are supposed to have the little things on the fingers that it doesn't work.
Yeah. Stephen F. Austin.
That's new, awesome. Yep, I did
Matt
not
Brower's
see that.
The new head coach at Stephen F. Austin.
That's really, really, really cool. Good for him. Good for that. That program, I'm telling you, like it is taken off. And I've always said that to people. It's the perfect school fan base and location to just fully embrace and take off with college basketball. They've always done it with women's college basketball back to the Cheryl Swoops days. I'm so happy that the men did it. I'm so happy after Chris Beard stabbed them in the back that Grant McCaslin ended up there, and they're still awesome. It's been really cool, and their facilities now match anybody's.
I'm trying to think back with Stephen F. Austin. Wasn't Brad Underwood the coach there?
He was there
a minute at least.
He took him to the
tournament, right?
Straight there
to Oklahoma State,
to Oklahoma
right?
State,
and then to Illinois,
and then to Illinois. Yeah, and he was there every year. Like it was clockwork. You take Stephen F. Austin to win games in the tournament. I have Illinois winning a game in the tournament. There's a sixth seed. I have winning a couple games, but yeah, it's basketball season, and we're excited for it. And I'm excited for the teams we have here. I think as you look at, you know, teams that could make a run, why not Gonzaga, right? Kind of like Kansas, team that started highly touted and fell a little bit and probably isn't where they're normally, but still we know very dangerous with the Hall of Fame coach. We'll talk Kansas in our next segment and just really like has much changed. What do we want to see from them in their opener? 6 o'clock today, as we hear from Bill Self yesterday, who had really interesting things, I think, to say about the state of college basketball and you know, being a team that nobody's talking about. I forget the phrase he used with Kansas, but sneak up on people, I think, is what he said, which is, of course, not going to happen. But you might as well try to use it if you can get it. So we'll have all that. We'll have K-State talk with Tim Fitzgerald. We'll talk a little football here today as well. The Chiefs making a roster move yesterday, add a little depth on the defensive line. They just keep finding money somewhere. I don't know how they're doing that, but they are. And we're just going to have some fun. We got the dogs out here looking at NASCAR.
Starting to get a little bit busier. People setting up and the sun is out now, which is good. Hopefully that will shoot temperatures, you know, upward. pretty quickly. We were talking about it, during the break. I'm pretty good other than my fingers and my toes. My fingers and my toes are freezing right now, but everything else is basically okay.
Yeah, look, this isn't my cup of tea weather. I'm the same way. My toes are cold. I go into turtle mode, as the people on the video stream can see. My shoulders touch my ears, basically.
Well, and you mentioned it to me, like you can't wear a beanie. Like I'm wearing a beanie right now.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Because you got to take care of that beautiful head of hair.
TV hair, baby.
You know?
Yeah, we got two live shots in a little bit. I can't. I've got like I brought up like layers. Like I had to get a layer because later it's gonna be. Now I don't want to say it's gonna be hot. It's only gonna be 60 degrees, but it'll be with the sun shining. It'll be my sweat a little bit.
It'll be good.
Real nice.
It'll be good. I've got the thermal pants on right now. I've even got thermal socks, but the socks really aren't doing their job. My gloves are worthless right now. They're really not doing a whole lot for me. Even though these gloves are called Glacier gloves, you would think that they would be a lot warmer than what they actually are, and they're not. I've also got the snot bubbles going on.
Yeah. Sorry for the sniffles, everybody. Hey, the cold weather, I think, I don't want to jinx it here, but these allergies I've been dealing with all week.
Well, that'll just push it away.
Kick that can down the road.
It's a trade-off. You got to pick one or the other. Either terrible allergies.
God, I don't know.
Freezing cold.
I don't know which one of those I would take. And listen, we're a couple sissies. I know that, but it was technically below freezing. I think it still is by a degree or so. I'm glad
31 degrees.
I never get up as early as I get up to do the show. It's almost never earlier than my wife gets up, whether she's going to the gym or going to work. There at HTO, but like, I'm very glad she didn't see how many layers that I was going to get into today because I would never hear the end of it. I don't understand. Like, why do I get to get everybody gives me? I got earmuffs down here. Like, why is it such a pull of the man card to layer up? Like, are you?
I really thought that you were going to look like the kid from A Christmas Story. I thought you was going to be like, I can't put my arms down.
I'm not far off. I got long johns on. I'm four layers deep on this jacket, gloves, the fuzzy socks, and I'm still cold. It's definitely interesting. This has been a fun weather experience. It was dark. It is colder now than it was when we started this show.
You're right.
And it will quickly get warm now because the sun's up, which I'm really looking forward to. But I don't think I was quite ready for that, even though I looked and studied and dreaded the weather for the last 3 days. Like, all right, did we get any warmer on the forecast? All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's talk Kansas. They play at 6-ish tonight. We're excited. We got them on KWCH. We're excited about that. But here it is. Like, I don't know that there will be first couple of games like this. Like, we don't get this sort of luck. Well, if you're a college basketball fan, regardless if you're a KU, but to get Self and Cal and then one of them and probably Patino in the first two rounds, that is wild stuff. That's
fantastic.
Crazy.
It's great. And the fact that, and Calipari talked about this yesterday, that he feels like he's back to his roots as an underdog.
Oh, okay.
You know, and just like hearing this stuff and Bill Self talking
about it. Bill Self's trying to do it too.
That whole thing. Like, it's so much fun. I'm here for it. I love it.
I do too. I really appreciate both of those guys and what they've been able to do and have done and how much they are pro player. I don't know how much Patino is pro player. Patino's just really good at what he does. But I love that those two guys are sticking with it. And I'll tell you what I mean by that, because some of the stuff Bill Self talked about yesterday backs up what I've been saying for a long time when people, as KU struggled, wondered, like, is he's got to be sick? And I'm like, I don't think he is. I think he's having just as much fun now as he ever has. And I think that he and Cal have always embraced a lot of what's happening now with the changes in college basketball in different ways, but they've never shied away from it. And so I think it's cool they're matching up. We'll talk about that next. A lot to go here for the next 2 hours and change. We'll be back. More Sports Daily right after this.
Dude, you gotta hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. We are so glad to be here with you at NASCAR Park. Sun's coming up. It is looking, it's got that feel, Tommy. It's got that feel. Yes, I can still feel my fingers and toes, but yeah. It does have that feel. As soon as the sun came up, I'm looking right now. We got a booze truck. We got a food truck. We got another sort of like outside bar I'm looking at over there. Parks and Rec are here. We appreciate their support and letting us be out here too. People are having breakfast right now over at one of my favorite places to get breakfast, Homegrown. We've got some patios as I look behind us there getting set up. The lights are on. The arena's kind of lit up a little bit. This is going to be a blast, and we are just so dadgum excited that this is here. We've been waiting a long time for it. We know the community's been waiting a long time for it. I know there's a lot of people. You know, everybody always plays hooky on the Thursday of the NCAA tournament. Do it. Just play hooky. We'll sign your notes. You know, like, we'll just whatever. Just write it down. We'll sign your notes. Yeah, there you go. We'll
have your boss call us, you know, if you need 869-1240. An excuse to get out. Yeah, we'd be happy to talk to him. Tell him how important it is to be down here.
I'm a Catholic kid growing up. I know guilt trips. I know how that works. So I can help you with that. We'll make your boss feel bad. Come down, hang out, have a good time. I can't wait to walk around, see everybody, say what's up. We'll be down here live from Odyssey for the radio here. We're here live on the show until 11, but collectively here until 10 p.m. tonight. We've got a 12 News crew. Of course, we appreciate live streaming right now on 12 News Plus. We've got that set up over there. A lot of the colleagues will be out and about here. We'll talk to Brandon and TJ here in just a little bit, but it's fun. It's all hands on deck. It's fun to come down and work this kind of stuff. I know there's a lot of people doing that, so we're enjoying it. And then we'll have basketball. We'll have basketball at 11, and then we'll have basketball here in Wichita at 1 o'clock. So if you're going to the games, have fun. There'll be, I think we'll get at least two, if not three, really good games that are highly competitive. And we'll see how that goes. And to those fan bases that are here driving around, maybe you're driving down here and you're channel surfing and you're here with us, we appreciate you being here in Wichita. We hope you have a great time. All right, let's talk a little hoops, Tommy. Bill Self yesterday out in Rhode Island with John Calipari and Rick Pitino. I'm sure the Rhode Island, the Providence region is happy right now. As they got a bunch of fan bases that are going to travel like crazy. But we sit here and we look at it, and it's just, you've got these Hall of Fame coaches, and yeah, Arkansas is a 10 seed, and yeah, Kansas is a 7 seed. And not, we all know that those teams are capable of beating anybody at any point with the talent that they have and the players that they have. And it looks like Arkansas is going to be healthy. But like, it's amazing to me that even as those two guys have, in relative terms, right, struggled this year, their teams have, in relative terms, struggled, that you've got them there, and I think they're two of, and they have been this way for a long time. These are two of the coaches, along with probably Tom Izzo, Mark Few, a handful of the others, because some of the coaches didn't like this, clearly, and that's okay. Right. Some of them didn't like the new era of college basketball. And it's not, I don't think it's ever because players are being compensated. I think all the coaches appreciate that, but just the entire package, right? The chaos of it. But as Bill Self put it yesterday, maybe it was time for change, right? People don't like that it's not the way it used to be, but it kind of like one of those, maybe we ought to look in the mirror and realize it shouldn't have been the way it used to be to begin with. I've always appreciated that about him. He's never been naive to this stuff. He's been a big advocate to make some of the changes that need to happen. And even as the teams have struggled, and even as it hasn't been wholly successful out of the portal for Kansas, although I can test that a little bit. Remy Martin helped them win a national championship as a prize portal piece. They're sticking with it, and they seem to be enjoying themselves. I don't think Bill Self, I think he's fine. I don't think he's thinking about anything other than basketball and next year and how to make this team better and this year and how to win tournament games. And like, I don't think there's any part of this he doesn't enjoy still.
you know, there are coaches that have resisted this new era of college basketball. They've been very vocal about it. And a couple of things have happened. They've either kind of had to get on board or they've left the sport entirely. You know, you think of some legends that, you know, probably felt like they didn't want to be in this new era of college basketball, whether we're talking about Coach K or Roy Williams, maybe even Jay Wright to an extent.
Yeah, and to be fair, those guys are all old.
Totally. You know, and I think that they probably felt like it was time for them to move on, and they didn't really want to, and I don't blame them, really want to dive in and invest in the new era of college basketball. So that's been one subset of coaches. But then you've got, you know, other coaches that have really been like, look, it's time to make a change. It's time to embrace the way that things are moving towards. And, you know, I think that people don't generally give a whole lot of grace and a whole lot of patience for the fact that we're still in a transitional time.
Oh, yeah.
In the sport, and it hasn't fully settled. You know, that there are still changes that are happening all the time in the way that NIL is distributed out and what that looks like. I mean, there are court cases going on all the time. Supreme Court, you know, is hearing different things about NIL and all of that. And so just as far as the general landscape is concerned in college basketball, it's still changing and it's still trying to, I think everybody's trying to figure out the way that it's all going to ultimately land. And Bill Self is not immune to that, even though he now is basically the elder statesman in college basketball. And even though he's been an advocate for all of it, he hasn't been perfect in navigating the transfer portal.
Sure.
Hasn't been perfect in navigating NIL.
He's been really good at it.
He's been good at it, but he hasn't been perfect, and nobody really has. But I think that he at least has been willing to embrace it, you know, more so than some of the other coaches out
there. Yeah, and he did say yesterday that he thinks, and I've thought this for a long time, it'll probably look a lot different in 2 or 3 years. And I agree with that. And I think for fans, I think fans will like it more. I don't think the players will lose anything. I think there'll just be more organization to it, which it obviously needs, right? Like, it obviously needs it. But coaches are moving around all the time. I made the joke yesterday. I think it was Jay Billis when DeVries went to Indiana while he was clearly still coaching West Virginia. Like, oh, the coaches' portal's always open. And it is. And I've said that forever. Like, you can't, on one hand, get mad at players, but on the other, always just be okay with coaches doing buyouts or whatever. And I think the ultimate end game is to just get players to the same level of professional responsibility as the coaches. And if you want to leave, you're going to have a buyout. Or if you want to leave, you're not getting fully compensated. Yeah. And that's okay. Like, that's until, where it needs to be.
Until we get to a point to where there are actually contracts with terms of the contract.
The only thing I can think of.
With buyouts, with, you know, that sort of thing. And, you know, it could very well end up where if there is a school that desperately wants a player that is under contract with another school, the school can pay the buyout if they want to, you know, like,
sure.
Because that's the way that it is with coaches too. It's not like a lot of times, I mean, I know it happens occasionally, but a lot of times when a coach wants to go to another school and a school really wants the coach, that school pays the school that the coach is leaving.
That's right.
And pays that buyout and takes care of it. And so, you know, it wouldn't necessarily have to come out of the player's pocket, but I think you need to have some kind of protection, some kind of guardrails in place. And I think that's where we're headed. And I don't exactly know the path to get there and what that's going to look like over the next few years, but I do think that's where things will land.
I do too, because it's the only thing that I can make sense of logically that will work. I think about this stuff all the time. And people that listen to this show for years and years, we talk about this a lot because we're fascinated by it. We're not resistant to it. I've been an advocate for player compensation for as long as I've been doing this for a living. Never made sense to me. It's simple. It's easy. The transfer portal is the chaos part. It's not the NIL part. It's the transfer portal.
Yeah.
So how do you do it? Well, the NIL almost a lot, with schools taking over, it kind of makes it easier, right? Like, it just now, okay, like if everything's front-facing and we all know that everybody's just compensating, great. Then just go under contract. And it doesn't take anything away from a scholarship. Make the financial component of a scholarship a part of the contract, right? You lose all that. Nothing changes. It just protects the schools from losing players.
Make the marketing dollars that the players receive for their name, image,
absolutely,
and likeness, it's part of the contract.
It is tied to you working for the university that you're a part of. And it can be, you know, it can be regulated by conference, I think, is probably the most logical way to do that, right? Conferences operate in a certain way. I don't know that the NCAA is going to be capable of it because of the legal aspects of it and how many different places they operate, right? And different laws are in place in different places. And, you know, you're not going to get the federal government to agree on anything, I don't think. So that part gets a little more challenging too. But you just have to get there. And there's success in it. And, like, you know, for Bill Self, like, he's been really good at getting portal players. I mean, they get top portal players every year. Are they always the right fit? No, and they're not going to be either. What Kansas did for a decade and a half is almost impossible to imagine being repeated at any point. UConn was an 8 seed. UConn barely made the tournament this year.
Yeah.
That's your back-to-back champion.
Right.
Right? Like,
yeah.
It's unlikely. Who's been UConn? So UConn's won the last two. I mean, I'm trying to think of who've been the most consistent of the modern era of what would it be, the last 4 years, probably five, maybe.
I mean, UConn, you can point out, I think
you can point to UConn on a 2 year stretch. Alabama.
Alabama's been pretty consistent.
Really consistently good in it. Kansas, I think, has been as relevant. You know, not again, the days of them being a one seed every single year, I think, are impossible to imagine now because there's too much roster turnover. But they've been okay. Gonzaga's been fine.
Michigan State is always going to be in the tournament. Yeah, they've got the second longest streak behind Kansas.
They've been okay. But, you know, from the top end.
Duke has been a team that we've seen consistency kind of continue even after Coach K and the John Shire transition.
Tennessee, I wanted to say Baylor, but not even Baylor.
Not even Baylor,
Tech. Tech has been very consistent.
Yeah.
And will be, too, by the way, I think. But again, this is back to the conversation we had in the first hour. Like, it's hard for me to imagine the chalkiness of what we've seen for 20 years, 25, 30 years, even in college basketball, where it's the same handful of teams as number ones and number twos every year. I just think the likelihood of that is low. I mean, you've got Auburn and Florida as ones this year. I don't think anybody saw that coming. We saw it coming with Houston because we knew they were going to be really good.
I think people knew that Auburn was going to be. I mean, Auburn has been on the ascent you know, the last couple
Bruce
of years.
Done an incredible
He's done
job
a really
there.
Good job there. But I don't think anybody saw Florida being a team.
Remember
when Florida played Wichita State earlier this season.
They were like number 19 they might be pretty good.
And then they just absolutely blew the Shockers out of the water. And at the time, you're like, okay, is this more about Florida or more about Wichita State? And I think now you look at it, it was more about Florida.
Yeah,
it was absolutely.
And they hadn't even hit their stride.
Yeah, totally.
Either they are the hottest team coming into this tournament. But yeah, but again, the old guys embracing it because we know the young guys are going to embrace it and be good at it. Right? There's another generation. Like if you don't want to do it, fine, get out of the way because somebody will. Seeing those old guys and I don't know how much I know Calipari enjoys it because he's always been pro player, but like just seeing them like. What are you looking to us for excuses? You think we're going to sit up here and make excuses?
Yeah.
Come on.
Like, yeah. No. And you know, it's to exactly your point. It's either adapt or die, adapt or get out of the way.
Yeah, you know, and we'll do
look,
it.
I don't fault guys like Krzyzewski and Williams and Boeheim and others like that have said, look, if it's adapt or get out of the way, we're just going to get out of the way.
Well, yeah, because you've done things a certain way. And at some point, like we all go through that.
I don't fault them for that.
No, I don't either.
You know, like I get it. And I'm like, you know, look, if it were me too, and I've won national championships and I'm in my 70s and the landscape is changing to a point to where my job is significantly different than what it was and the way that I operate, I have to operate it differently. Yeah, maybe it's time for me to ride off into the sunset. I don't begrudge them at all for that.
How much energy do you have to learn how to relearn how to do something? And you know, something else to Bill Self's point yesterday was like, you know, I think at the core of it, the most in common trait of coaches is that we like to teach. And I think that's his big thing is like, that's the one thing, like you don't get to have guys as long to teach them. And that part's hard. And look, I think that we have seen that translate onto the court for Bill Self. Certainly young guys have never really, I mean, he's always had a freshman, right? But it's always a freshman mixed in with a bunch of old guys. Well, I don't know how much young guys are going to be able to play their way through a self. I mean, Flory Badunga's been in and out of the doghouse a little bit. Whether he comes back, it's going to be hard, and it's going to have to change a little bit. But at the same time, you've got to bring in essentially, you know, freshmen to your ways of doing things, even if they're older players. And some guys will look at that and they'll thrive in it, like Hunter Dickinson has. And come, you say what you want about Hunter Dickinson. I've been hard on him this year. He came into a new program. He was effective right away and has been effective. It hasn't been the right fit, I don't think, totally, but he's been effective.
He's been a really good, consistent individual performer for this team. It hasn't translated to the number of wins over the last two seasons that I think, you know, everybody associated with Kansas would expect or desire from the Jayhawks. But one of the things, to your point about the development of players, and that's something that Bill Self has always excelled at, is that you think of guys that have taken major leaps forward, major steps forward from their first year to second year in the program, second year to third year to fourth year, guys like Ochai Agbaji and guys like Jalen Wilson, where you saw clear improvement from one year to the next. I don't know how realistic, honestly, that is in just the landscape of college basketball in general moving forward, unless you have guardrails in place where players are like, look, it's going to end up costing me money if I leave this program. So I'm going to have to be pretty... I'm gonna have to be pretty deliberate on if I want to make a change or not.
Kansas is not the best example because Kansas has been able to retain players in this era. They retain Dickinson, they retain Adams, they retain DeJuan Harris for a long time. Like, they retain players, so they're not the best example.
Yeah.
There are other teams are harder at it. Kansas, and I've said a million, they're just not the right fit. You put Hunter Dickinson on a team that can shoot the three. I mean, that's Kansas's problem, is they just don't complement each other very well. But they're, you know, we've seen again, I think they are being undersold a little bit, Tommy. I mean, they have big time wins. They have mind numbing losses. They got a lot of big wins this year too. And it's all neutral court from here on out. It's players versus players. They have the experience. I don't know if they're going to be able to shoot enough. It's hard to say. It's hard to imagine them being able to shoot enough, but they can in one game. You know, like they can in one game when they need it, get some shots. I've got them to the Sweet 16. I don't know. It's a big ask, but I think if all things considered, Sweet 16, you calling that a win this year for the totally. Preseason number one?
Absolutely. I think it is. Maybe not from all the way back at the beginning of the season when they're preseason number one, but from the bottom of the valley where they were before when they were, you know, it was just incomprehensible the kind of basketball that they were playing and the losses were piling up. If they can get one or two wins in the NCAA tournament, I would count that as a win overall for this team.
I always count the Sweet 16 for any team, no matter where they're ranked, almost a win. I mentioned my favorite breakfast place, Homegrown. They just came over and gave us coffee and Pop-Tarts.
That's amazing.
I appreciate that a great deal. Thank you guys very much. It is. It's one of the best places to get breakfast.
I love
home in the world.
It's so good.
So we're going to be having Pop-Tarts right now. We welcome in Tim Fitzgerald as he gets jealous of our Pop-Tarts and coffee. It's cold, Fitz. You
Speaking
look warm.
Of tarts, I'm on.
Oh, wait. Hang on.
Oh.
And now our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald. Yeah.
So bad.
And Daphne.
That's dude.
Daphne the dog sitting next to Fitz. So they gave me buttons, Tim. Dude. So. We've got the ability to monitor your behavior here. We have buttons here. We're having fun. 4 hours live today, Fitz. How's it up in Manhattan?
It's good. They called you Daphne, dude. I apologize.
Oh, that's dude. That's not Daphne.
Dude, sorry.
Yeah. It's back to normal, I think, after whatever that was yesterday.
Yeah, we're in the same. I mean, it's cold here, but it's going to be beautiful. I know you love this region and you got to be excited for what we've got going down here. I'm telling you, Fitz, you got to get down here. Like we're in the middle of we're just to the other side of the arena, and you've got a bar truck and food trucks and an outdoor bar here. And then you've got behind the arena, all of these outdoor, there's a pizza bus behind me. I don't even know what that is, but I'm excited to find out. Like,
did
it is incredible.
Outdoor bar. And a pizza
outdoor
bus.
I'm looking
outdoor
right at
bar.
It. Yeah, I'm looking right at it. And you know, you can walk around with them. So come down. You should come down Saturday. We got We got good Big 12 love here this year. I want to ask you about the Big 12 teams. I want to ask you about your bracket, but let's start with K-State, you know, in no postseason for the Cats. What is the immediate fallout for this group? Who's coming back? Who's not coming back? Do we have any indication of any of that yet?
No, we don't. Jerome Tang told his guys, take a week. And, you know, let's see how it goes. So they're into that process, I guess. I mean, the transfer portal doesn't open until Monday. And so I kind of laugh when people say,
open.
This guy's in the portal.
Quote, unquote.
Open, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, and you're not supposed to contact anyone, and people are releasing lists of 10 schools. It's absurd. But we don't know right now. We don't know who will be back, who can come back. And, you know, they want to retain more than they have. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Honestly, after the frustrations of the season, I wouldn't be surprised if some guys transfer out that we didn't expect it, but we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out as Jerome Tang and his staff try to retool this roster for next season and do it in a more sustainable way in terms of being long-term.
Probably more of a philosophical question here, Fitz, because we don't know personnel, we don't know changes. But, you know, if you had to rank the priorities of what, you know, just what this team needs next season, maybe not even necessarily about from a skill set personnel type thing, but like, is it a leadership thing? Is it more of a vocal leader in the locker room? Is it, what are some of the things that you think Jerome Tang should be looking for as he crafts a roster?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. You need to go find guys who are invested in playing basketball for more than just a dollar amount. Not that I'm saying that's what that's what some of the guys on the roster did, but it appeared to be that way. And I think really trying to manage the locker room as much as putting together a cohesive roster is really what has devastated this team. It took a while for this group to gel, and I don't think they ever had the right parts as a team. They were just lacking something. But they're going to have to go find a lead scorer, a guy that can light it up. And I don't know how you replace the energy and effectiveness of David Gasan, but you got to replace some of that with someone in the post that can get it done.
I mean, you got to replace a lot of production in a lot of places, honestly. Like, people can say what they want about Coleman Hawkins. That's a lot of production that has to be replaced, you know, not necessarily in scoring, but in other places. And so a big part of that we know is having the funds and the ability to do it. What is the appetite for that among the donors, the fan base, the NIL base? Like, is everybody still fired up, on board with K-State Hoops enough to create the abilities, I guess, for the coaching staff to go get who they need?
As far as we know, NIL's not really public, but we know that some of the major donors are still on board and ready to go. I imagine they've been asked to, revisit how they go about building the roster and what they do, but I think the support's still there, which honestly surprises me a little bit, but that's good. I think someone said, one of the donors said, well, I'm not going to give up on K-State basketball. If you've got the money and the appetite to go through this process, it's pretty incredible as a fan. I mean, just when having that kind of affection for your university, when you're that kind of that level of donor, it's amazing to me, actually. So we'll see if they throw around money like they did last year. I'll say this, guys. Well, here's one of the things they've got to get rid of. They've got to find a way to shake the image of being the team you always want to include on your list to drive up the price. They found themselves getting on players' lists that maybe they weren't going to be the choice, but boy, everyone knew K-State would pay if they wanted them, and it kind of drove the choice up. They got to get through that.
You know, one of the teams that is going to be playing over our shoulder here later today is Houston, and Jerome Tang talked about Kelvin Sampson and about the way that Sampson has built his roster and had the tremendous amount of success with that program in the Big 12 and how he, kind of wants to emulate what Kelvin Sampson has done at Houston. That's a great goal to have because Sampson is the top of the class as far as that is concerned and retention and building a program. But that's easier said than done.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but what makes Houston great is not just the roster. They're so tightly coached. I don't know if that's the right – there's not much room for error with Houston. If you're not doing it right, you're not playing.
Yeah.
And the discipline level that they exude, particularly on the defensive end of the floor, is remarkable. And that's the great – aside from the roster, I mean, getting a group of guys in this era to defend at the level they do with the consistency they do is remarkable. And you got to find the right kids. That's, again, Kelvin Sampson isn't just out there taking guys based on talent. He's taking guys based on, can they do this for me? Can they flourish under me? And I think that's a really important step here. But just get back to the basis of how Baylor was built. I think it would be good for Jerome Tang. Go find those athletes. Out-athlete people. Get big, springy guys and mix in a couple scores and go. Because that's what they built their program on, and it led them to a national title. So that seems like a pretty good road to follow.
And they had, you know, the path where they showed us for a time that it was a good fit. They just couldn't find it consistently, I think, to some of the earlier points. You brought up Houston. Are they your pick to win it?
Us too.
Yep. It's consistency and the buy-in and all of those things. The other Big 12 team here is Tech, who, man, I wish they were fully healthy. But Tech, I think, is another team that can make a run in this thing. Could you believe JT Toppin, by the way, wasn't a first-team All-American? I couldn't. But the Big 12 is well represented in this tournament. I don't know if it's the number of teams that we thought, but I think we're going to have teams out of that league that every single one of them that made it is capable of making it to the Sweet 16.
I agree. And you look at how the Big 12 fell in this bracket, what they have. There's five really winnable games. I mean, Houston should win. Tech should win. Iowa State, BYU. These games are ones they win. The two in the middle of the bracket, I did a daily delivery on this, are huge for the Big 12 because Kansas is a 7 and Arkansas is a 10. Mississippi State's an 8.
Baylor's a 9.
Baylor. Those games aren't just in the middle of the bracket. They're against the SEC.
That's true.
And it's an opportunity to maybe deflate some of that SEC talk. But I got to be honest, and this isn't I'm a K-State guy taking a shot. I don't have a good feeling about KU. I don't like where they're at. They seem to show some signs of life at the end. But they're going to go up against an athletic team in Arkansas. We'll see how it pans out. But those games are huge for the Big 12. But I think this conference needs to have a good tournament. They didn't last year when they were known as the conference, and they blew that up by not performing well. So now they have an opportunity to maybe turn the tables on the SEC. I'll say this. I'm a firm believer that West Virginia should have been in the tournament. But I also I don't – what's happened to West Virginia over the last week is just unfathomable.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of people that have compared it to the Huggins situation. K-State thought they were in the tournament. They didn't get in. They should have been in that year, but they got bumped out. And then the coach ups and leaves, ironically, for West Virginia. But now we're hearing rumors of talks were going on during the season. This thing's ugly. And
of course they were going on during the season.
Yeah.
You don't get the Indiana job 2 days after the season ends without talking during the season. I mean, that doesn't happen.
And I think there's going to be some legal things going on here with tampering and all that stuff. I feel awful for West Virginia. They don't deserve that. That's a great fan base.
It's been a bad week for them. I'll tell you, my sleeper team, I'm shouting it from the mountaintops, sleeper team in the Big 12 is BYU.
Yeah.
If they can get through VCU in the first round, I think they've got a great path. In fact, I've got them in the Final Four if they can get, you know, through that first round. That's been such a breath of fresh air, that team this season in this conference. I think they can represent the conference really well.
Well, we've got – if you look at the bracket, BYU and Iowa State have really good paths.
I wish they could have flip-flopped where they are, though.
I agree.
I wish BYU would have been in a region where they're playing a bunch of good defenses, and Iowa State would have been in the region where there's all I wish they could have flip-flopped, because BYU's got all of these other great offenses up against them.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. But, yeah, they've got some great paths, and, of course, I think Houston is a great path. I just think the way they play is hard to beat. And I would love to see Kelvin Sampson get a national title at Houston. For whatever, I've got a great. It's funny how, as you age, your image kind of reforms. I don't know that Kelvin Sampson was seen as an old wise coach at any point until now, because he was known for NCAA violations that now are no big deal. So to see him do it is really refreshing and really good for the conference and good for college basketball.
And they're wagging. They're not hurt for the first time. They don't have any injuries, right? Like that, every year they come in and they're missing key players. Not this year. Like this is a good year for them. But I'm chalky in my bracket. I have the ones in. I can't believe it. I hate it. I'm ashamed of myself. But that's just the way it laid out. Who's your final four?
Boy, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it did get pretty chalky. Not only is the SEC got too many teams in, they're overseeded, in my opinion. And it's made their path much easier. So
maybe
you end up, you know, if you're a one seed, you're not really getting challenged till the Sweet 16. Maybe the 8 or 9 gets you, but not typically. So it's going to be an interesting tournament. But I actually had problems, and maybe I'm a big homer. Maybe I'm just hugely biased. I had problems not putting in 2 Big 12 teams. I kept going back and looking like, this guy, I can't do this. And there they were. There was always.
Well, Tech and Iowa. Tommy likes BYU. Tech, Iowa State have the pedigree to do it if they're healthy enough. All right, Fitz, we appreciate it. Come down, party in Wichita. We'll buy you a beer.
And dude was outstanding in this segment. You got to admit.
Yep. He was perfect. All right. We'll be right back. More Sports Daily, third hour coming your way next.